why would anyone want to wake up? So we're talking about spiritual awakening, sometimes called enlightenment or liberation. Why would anyone want that? Well, from where I sit, the question's more like, why would you not want it? I realize that part of the challenge is to translate what for me is pretty obvious into terms that most people will find desirable. Franklin Merrill Wolfe wrote about this in his book, Experience in Philosophy. There's a section called Addendum on the High Indifference, where he basically says that the highest state that he realized, that he called the high indifference, was, I'm going to use my own words here, but for most people that he worked with, well, he said they either didn't understand it, or if they did understand it, some, they were appalled. Actually, he doesn't go into detail about why they would be appalled by it. My sense is that, like the wars and the suffering and all of that, from the perspective of the high indifference, all of that, basically, I wouldn't say it doesn't exist, because that would sound nihilistic. It's more like it would be no more significant than, I would say it would be like a dream that you're having and you wake up and realize it wasn't real. It's actually more independent than that, in the sense that it's pretty much impossible to put into words. Its nature is such that it is literally impossible to put into words. And the question might arise, is that value of what Franklin calls the high indifference, is that translatable into human terms that would be desirable for people? No, it's not. Not in practical terms, like I'm hungry, I don't want a sandwich. There's nothing, it's utterly far into that, in a really wonderful sense. I don't mean foreign, like alien or other. It's more like independent. And I use the word absolute sometimes. It means that it doesn't depend on anything else. It's utterly what it is. And there is nothing else. He actually says it's indifferent to bliss and its opposite. People want their suffering. Of course they want freedom and happiness and bliss and whatever else, but they want their suffering. Because a state that is utterly without suffering is also utterly without its opposite, and it is inconceivable. Because it's inconceivable, the requirement that one jump off into unknowing, the utter freedom of consciousness, it's like jumping through an open window into something you cannot mentally comprehend, and yet on a radical level you basically intuit that at the root of your being and jump, and you're down at the very last bit of what you might consider ego and surrender, jump, and there's no way to know what's after that. There is no after. There's no before. It's just, it's very well protected in that way. It cannot be conceived. People think you wake up and then somehow you kind of know what it is. No, it's impossible. That's beautiful. If you could know what it was before you jump, why would you want it? You would have it already, because it would be your mind. And it would include suffering and bliss or happiness. People are appalled because they want their suffering. Everything goes. So if you make the transition to put love first, it's love of truth. It's one thing. It's love of that which is, sometimes called God with a capital G, which I don't think is a very useful term, because it conjures an image of a a very large, muscular, bearded man on a throne in the sky somewhere, like Michelangelo's version. It's nothing like that. It is simply truth itself, that which is. So if a lie is what is not, truth is what's left after the lies go away. And everything is a lie. Because when I said everything, there's a concept of things, but it's a concept of things. It is not the thing itself. It is a concept in my mind about the thing. And to the degree that I live in my conceptualization of reality, I'm living in the mind, not in reality. There's nothing wrong with celebration and enjoying life. It's just, if you really want to wake up, you have to let all of it go. We confuse the mind with reality. So when I say let all of it go, I'm basically just saying let the mind go. It's just the mind is everything. In a certain state of consciousness, the mind is a substitute, a very poor substitute for reality. It would be like you're hungry and you just go to the restaurant and look at the pictures of food on the menu and lick it. And that's your meal. It is not satisfying. Well, maybe a little bit. Depending on what your thing is. You know what I mean, though? Don't we want to live in the thing itself? What is it? You can't say. No one can. You find the most enlightened person possible. The greatest sage ever to walk the planet. And say, what is reality? And he or she will say, find that for yourself. The presumption is we don't know, and that's okay. That's where humanity is. We live in our mind. The mind has an individual and a collective nature to it. And it's all bullshit. But it's okay as long as you see that it's false and no longer live in your mind. You live from your being, which is truth itself as it's lived individually. It's who I am. It's also what is. So you have to let it all go. And I mean all of it. See, there's that little bit that we want to keep. It's like, I want to go to the party. I want to be part of this huge celebration. Let's say truth itself is something that's like a banquet. And everyone's there, and it's beyond your wildest ability to conceptualize. But it's basically awesome. Like, I want to go to that party. The only way you can go is if they kick you out. Because the one that you have in your mind is not the one that you go to. And as long as you're caught up in being at the party, you're basically walling it off in your head and living there. And you'll never get there if you do that. As long as you do that, you're trapped in your own thinking. Even the word you, in particular the word you, the self, the ego is the root of it. It's an attachment to a conceptualized self. And that's the last one to go. They say, okay, we're ready to go to the party. You've done all your work. Now we're going to kick you to the curb. Yes. Why is that? There is a realization that I'm going to follow truth until it leads to the very end of all suffering. And that includes me. When I say me, it would be like I'm putting it in air quotes. It's just my conceptualization. Who I am is being. Who I think of myself as is, well, right now it doesn't really have any meaning. Self is necessary to live in the world. So that conceptualized self is necessary to live in the world. It's just once you're awake, it's like riding on water. As soon as it's there, it's gone. And it's beautiful because it doesn't last, just like everything else. It passes. And we don't cling to it, we allow it. And we realize that allowing of what is to be is our very way of being in the world. It doesn't judge, it doesn't cling. And in that sense, it's free. And it loves.